Nehemiah chapter 3, Building Together. Now the book of Nehemiah is a personal narrative of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. The walls around the city had broken down, the gates burned, and the people living in the defenseless city, they were in great distress because the broken walls were symbolic of the defeat and disgrace of God's people. But by the combined effort and zeal of all those involved in the rebuilding work and the faithfulness of God, the destruction was turned into reconstruction and distress into joy as the broken walls were wonderfully and quickly rebuilt in 52 days. Now here in chapter 3, we have a record of the workers or the builders of the walls of Jerusalem. You know, a list of who did what. At first glance, Nehemiah chapter 3 looks a bit boring. It is one of those chapters that we tend to skip over. It reads very much like 1 Chronicles, with its long list of names that are difficult to pronounce. Can anything be more boring than a list of names, names we can hardly pronounce, and construction details that seem repetitive and also meaningless? I don't know whether you have tried reading Nehemiah chapter 3. I know reading through chapter 3 is like undergoing a linguistic obstacle course. I told the earlier service, I can totally imagine Pastor using chapter 3 of Nehemiah as our scripture memory verse or program for 2025. I think we will have lots of fun. And if you can memorize chapter 3, you deserve a special prize from Pastor, not from me. But what appears at first reading to be a list of unfamiliar names and boring details of wall construction, on closer examination, reveals many great insights and principles on the kind of church that God wants and how we should go about doing God's work. Now, the chapter is not really difficult to analyze because the rebuilding work described in Nehemiah chapter 3 is described in reference to the gates of the city. Now, there were 10 gates in the city, and the gates were the critical entry and exit point to the city and the place most vulnerable to attacks by the enemies. And so the rebuilding work in Nehemiah chapter 3 is described in reference to the 10 gates of the city, beginning with the sheep gate on the north side of the city near the temple enclosure, and moving in the counterclockwise direction, moving westward to the fish gate, then to the old gate, then to the valley gate, and going southward to the dung gate, then to the gate of the fountain, before moving eastward to the water gate, then to the horse gate, then to the east gate, and then to the gate Mikketh, or the inspection gate, before returning to the sheep gate in the north. Now, we are not going to go through every verse in chapter 3. What we are going to do is to look at individual verses throughout the chapter that teach us how great works have their beginnings. And so keep your Bible open at Nehemiah chapter 3 as we examine the attitudes and the efforts of those involved in the rebuilding work. And I would like to draw three lessons for our learning as a church this morning. We see, first of all, the total involvement of God's people. Secondly, we see their zeal and their enthusiasm. And thirdly, we see how they honored God. First of all, total involvement. The chapter shows the involvement of the entire Jewish community. 38 individual workers are named in this chapter, and 42 different groups of families are identified. Of course, there were other workers whom Nehemiah did not name, but whose labors were equally important. People from all walks of life, trades, professions, and social classes gathered to work on the walls. Verse 1 mentioned the priests who were involved. In verse 8, you have the apothecaries or the perfume makers. In verse 9, you have the city officials or the rulers. Verse 12, you have women who were involved. The Levites, in verse 17, the gatekeepers or the custodians, in verse 29. Then in verse 32, you have the goldsmiths, you have the merchants. Some of the workers were residents of Jerusalem, and some came from the surrounding cities and the outlying villages, such as from Jericho in verse 2, Tekoa in verse 5, Gibeon and Mizpah, mentioned in verse 7. It is amazing to see the diverse people God used for this rebuilding project. In fact, one man got involved with his daughters. Verse 12 tells us, in verse 12, and next unto him repaired Shalom. And then we are told, he and his daughters. And so it was a family adventure or a family project. Now, most of the workers, they were not builders by training or by profession. The priests, the goldsmiths, the perfumers. These were people who were used to doing light, refined, delicate work, not building or construction works. And most of them were working people who had their day jobs to do, yet they chipped in and helped to build the walls. Now, God did not use 100 skilled stone masons or 50 skilled carpenters to rebuild the walls and gates. He used ordinary people from all walks of life to build. And the biblical principle is this: God uses all kinds of people to do his work. Nehemiah chapter 3 reminds me of the New Testament principle described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of what a local church ought to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul compares individual Christians to parts of the human body. He says in verse 12, for as the body or as the church is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Every part of our human body is different. Our eyes, you know, our ears, our legs, they're all different. And they all have a specific and important function to fulfill. Yet each part depends on the other parts in order for the whole body to function properly. God uses a variety of people to do the work. You know, just look around you. We are all different from each other. We all come from different backgrounds. Some of you are younger Christians. Some of you literally grew up in Life Church. We are all in different stations of life. Some of you are still young. Some of us are going to retire, or many of us have retired. We all have different gifts, different likes, different dislikes. And that is the body of Christ, isn't it? Because verse 14 tells us, for the body is not one member, but many. The church is not made up of one member, but many members. One person, no matter how gifted, cannot do the work of ministry alone. And the church requires a variety of workers. So there is a place and a work for everyone in the Lord's vineyard. Now, for the walls to be rebuilt, the people had to work together. And so everyone was united. Everyone did the work together. Now, the task at hand was overwhelming. This was not a case of a small group of workers constructing a garden fence or a partition wall. Even by modest estimates, the circumference of the city of Jerusalem was about 2.5 miles long, or 4 kilometers. 4 kilometers would be from here in Life Church all the way down Dunyan Road until Adam Hawker Center. And that was the length of the walls that were to be rebuilt. Moreover, the destruction was great. The pile of rubble that had been left unattended for years was massive. And the stones that had tumbled down the valley, they were huge and heavy. And they had to be hauled, backed up, and reassembled. If the rebuilding of the walls had been tackled as a whole task in itself, and if one person or a group of persons had been assigned to it, the work would have been impossible, and rightly so. But Nehemiah wisely divided the walls into 41 smaller or doable sections, and then he assigned a section of the wall or the gate to different people, families, and groups to build, as the chapter shows it was, and the rebuilding work became manageable. This illustrates the principle that working together lightens the work that God has given for us. No one can do the whole job, but when everyone works together, the whole task, the most difficult task, can be successfully completed. Now, when you read chapter 3, you will note the phrase, next unto him, or next unto them. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, and next unto him built the men of Jericho, and next to them built Zachor, the son of Imri. Look at verse 4, and next unto them repaired Meremoth, and next unto them repaired Meshullam, and next unto them repaired Zadok. And you can read down in verse 5, and next unto them. You note the phrase, next unto him, next unto them. Now what this means is that as one person, one family, or one group builds one section of the walls, there is concurrently another person, another family, another group who is building the next section or the adjoining section of the wall. And this phrase, next to him, next to them, is recorded for us 28 times in this chapter, highlighting their teamwork and also the shared responsibility. Each builder knew what his task was and did it in conjunction or in harmony with others. The guys building the gates, he did it together with the people building the walls around the gates. Though they were working on different things, those different things came together to make the completed walls. Now, it would not have worked if one guy built his section of the walls but did not coordinate with the guy building next to him. And so, section by section, each did their part. Men and women, artisans and laborers, princes and commoners, all labored side by side, shoulder to shoulder. Some had larger sections, some smaller sections to build. Some worked on the towers, others built new gates. They worked side by side in unity on the city walls. Now, how does this apply to Life Church? Teamwork. Teamwork is the key to success. The success of God's work today depends upon this side-by-side mentality. If God's work is going to get done, we are called to work with one another, to collaborate with one another, and not to compete or to criticize one another. Now listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, when he talks about the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul is saying the whole body, the church, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It is impossible for one person or for the session to do all the work. But if you, as a member of Life Church, focus on building your section of the walls or the gates, doing what is assigned to you, and if everybody does likewise, then the entire task will be manageable, and Life Church will come forth as a more vibrant church. Everyone was involved, Everyone was united, and everyone was committed to finishing the task. During the construction of the walls, the people encountered numerous problems and difficulties that could have derailed the work. Instead of being overwhelmed, Nehemiah and his fellow workers soldiered on, and they completed the task. Now, there are two repetitive but very important words in this chapter. Now, first of all is the word build. Look at verse 2. And next unto him built the men of Jericho. Next to them built Zachor, the son of Imri. Now, the word built means rebuild. They rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, the other word is the word repaired. Look at verse 4. Next unto them repaired Meremoth. And next unto them repaired Meshullam. And next unto them repaired Zadok. Now, the word repaired means to make strong, to make firm. In other words, to make the walls strong and firm. And so the people built, the people repaired the walls and gates. And the word built is used 6 times. And the word repaired is used 35 times throughout the chapter. It speaks of their commitment. They were committed to the task. They built, they repaired, and they finished it. Serving God is a commitment. I've learned through the years that commitment is an essential mark of a faithful servant of God. The word commitment may be used or may be quoted frequently in our day, but kept commitments are much harder to find. Some people get all excited about service, but they burn out quickly and easily. Some get excited until problems hit, and then they give up. Some bail out when they meet criticism or opposition, and you will. Others expect instant results, and when it does not happen, they get discouraged and they quit. Some refuse to work if things are not done according to their way or their liking. But the person who is committed stays with the work that has been assigned to him until it is done. He is not easily distracted or discouraged or overtaken by earthly concerns or self-interests which will affect his service for the Lord. And God requires that we be committed in our areas of service. And so you could be a Sunday school teacher. You know, you may be a musician for the church. You are serving as a deacon, or you are serving in the church, in the office. Will you be committed to the task you have been called to serve the Lord? You have to realize that you are in for the long haul, and it is not always going to be easy or smooth sailing. And God has placed you where He wants you to be, here in Life Church. Every lifer has a part to play, a role to fulfill in this church. What section of the walls in Life Church is yours to work on? If you are not involved, it is time to grab a brick and to do your part. Don't leave yourself out of this godly enterprise. Someday you can look back and you thank God that you are one of the builders of Life Bible Presbyterian Church. You have a section of the wall or gate to build. And the first thing that we all need to do is to be involved. Now, secondly, we see the zeal and the enthusiasm of the people. Nehemiah faced a great challenge, and he had great faith in a great God. But he would have accomplished very little had there not been great dedication on the part of the people who helped him rebuild the walls. And we see that as soon as the people had resolved to build the walls, they lost no time, but set about it immediately. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." And so they strengthened their hands for these good works. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, then Eliashib, the high priest, and the entire Jewish community gave themselves immediately to the work. The entire workforce demonstrated an immediate dedication and enthusiasm as they labored faithfully to complete the task. So much so that the enemies of the Jews, they were completely caught off guard by the speed and the drive of the Jewish people. And before the enemies could effectively organize to stop the Jews or to sabotage the world, the walls and the gates, they were restored, they were rebuilt in 52 days. Saying and doing are often two different things. Many are always ready to say, "Let us rise up and build," but who will see it and do nothing? You remember the fair spoken son that Jesus spoke of in the parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. There was this son who said, "I go, sir," but he went not. If you are serious with the Lord, you want to get the work done immediately. No procrastination, no delays, no time wasting on trivial matters. You want to be involved in the real work. And Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, having been gloriously saved, we are to yield our lives to God. How do we do that? In verse 11, he said, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Now, this verse can be translated as, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." What Paul is saying here is this: don't be slothful in God's business. Give it your immediate attention. Now, the average Christian knows that to succeed in this world, he must put in a diligent 10 or 12 hour day at work, in office, or in school. But do we exercise the same spiritual diligence in the Lord's work? And there are many areas of need in Life Church. I know that the people are looking for younger ones to help out to prepare, for example, the Holy Communion elements. I know the sisters are looking for more helpers, for example, to do the floral arrangements for the church. There are many areas of needs in Life Church. And if God impresses upon your heart an area of need or service here in church, get involved. It is time to start building. Do not delay anymore. And so the people gave of themselves to serve the Lord, going beyond the call of duty. I want you to note the zeal of those workers who, having completed the section first assigned to them, they undertook a second section of the wall construction. For instance, look at verse 4. Meremoth, the son of Urijah, he repaired two sections of the wall. Look at verse 4. "And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kos. He built one section." Then look down to verse 21. We are told in verse 21, "After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kos, another piece." And so, having completed one section, he went on to build another section. Look at verse 5. The Tekoites, they built in two places on the wall. Verse 5. "And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired." Then look down to verse 27. "After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece." And so they built another section of the walls. Now, these workers did their share of the wall and more. They went beyond the call of duty and they worked to complete another piece of the wall. When you are zealous for the Lord, you want to go beyond the call of duty. You will walk the second mile. I remember as a young Christian in the YF, Elder Sung Tae Leong always reminds us, you walk the second mile. You must walk the second mile. You will want to contribute in any way you can. You will not say it's the duty, you know, of the pastors or the leaders, or it's the duty of the committee. It is not my job. Rather, you will tell yourself that the love of Christ constrains me to do what I can for the Lord, for the church. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." It is not enough for us to say that we have done as much as others. We must do as much as we can, as long as the Lord enables us. So let us stand up and be counted as one of the builders who went beyond the call of duty and did more. And we thank God for many lifers who have served sacrificially for many years, many of them going the second mile because of their love for the Lord and also the love for the church. I remember an occasion many, many years ago when I came to the church one day late at night, about 10:30 at night, and then I saw the lights on Bueller House on the first floor was lit. And so I was a bit curious why the lights were on. So I went in to take a peep. I found a couple washing the two toilets on the ground floor in Bueller House. And they were washing the toilets because there was a group who used the premises, and they stayed back to wash the toilets because there was another group coming on Saturday morning to use the premises. They loved the Lord. They went the extra mile. They washed the toilets on their own. Now, having said that there is a place for everyone, a work for everyone to do, there will always be those who will shirk their responsibility. And we see this in verse 5. While the people of Tekoa work diligently, we are told in verse 5, the nobles of Tekoa put not their necks to the work of their Lord. In other words, they will not do the work, they will not dirty their hands for whatever reasons. Perhaps because of pride or because of fear of reprisal from the enemies. And this is a reminder that there will always be those who should be working but are not doing so. So let us not be discouraged. We will never get 100% involvement. And I have learned over the years of this truth. Everybody is going to expect the work to be done, but not everybody is going to be part of the work that is being done. You know, some people, if things are not right, they will have much to say. I don't like this, I don't like that, this is wrong, this should have been done. But they are not doing anything themselves. There's no room for self-appointed critics in Life Church, but there's plenty of room for people who are willing to work. Now, the records of the builders in Nehemiah chapter 3, the list of names and the work that they put on, is proof that God takes note of what we do for His namesake. And the Bible reminds us in the book of Hebrews, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Our labor in the Lord is never in vain. And so you may not be the most gifted or talented or the most visible worker. Maybe you are responsible just for preparing the refreshments or preparing the place or cleaning up the place after the meeting. But God knows your name and God records your service. And one day the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. On the other hand, those who are slothful in the Lord's work are not only subject to God's notice, they are also missing out on one of the greatest privileges of all time. And I can't think of anything more rewarding than being involved in God's work and working together with God's people. Now, the people, they were zealous. They did God's work with passion. But one worker, we read in verse 20, stood out. We read in verse 20 that Baruch earnestly repaired the other piece. Now, this verse in verse 20, Baruch earnestly repaired another piece, is a very important verse. Baruch not just repaired the other piece or another piece, but the verse says that Baruch earnestly repaired. Now, the Hebrew word earnestly means to burn or to glow, and suggests that Baruch burned a lot of energy. He was not just working, he was on fire for God. And this is amazing because later on in chapter 4, we read that the people had a mind to work. They worked with all their heart, with enthusiasm. And so, not that the others were cold or indifferent, but Baruch was the most ardent. Almost everyone was working hard. But in the crowd of committed construction workers, Baruch stood out from the rest. And he was noted for his zeal, earnestly built the other piece. He was noted for the zest which he labored, outstripping and encouraging the rest. And Baruch is set before us as an earnest worker, and such should all Christians be. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, that God has chosen us, purified us as a peculiar people. For what purpose? That we may be zealous of good works. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, that it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. And so this should be one of the marks of God's people, to be zealous in the work of the Lord. Are you? You know, Jesus complained about the church of Laodicea was not that the church had no talents, not that the church did not know the truth, but that they just did not have any passion. They were complacent, they were lukewarm, and they were perfunctory in their duties to the Lord. Now, we need people like Baruch who will say, I don't bother how others are doing, I'm going to do my very best for God. And this motivation is so strong that it compels you to make any sacrifice, to suffer any inconvenience, to labor and to toil, and to do anything within your means or your strength, if only you can please and honor God. How many Baruchs you think we can find in Life Church? Are you ready to get fired up and work? Will you go the extra mile and burn with zeal and passion for the Lord? Or are you more like the nobles of Tekoa? Do you serve, or do you only expect to be served? Service from the Lord must be with the heart, you know, from the heart, with passion, not a form, not a duty. And Nehemiah called for no spectators, only active workers. He called for the people to work. When it comes to the work of the Lord, there's no place for spectators or self-appointed commentators, but there's always room for workers, especially zealous workers. Now, the people, they were totally involved. They were filled with zeal and enthusiasm. But importantly, they all honored God. Now, I want you to note that the high priest, Eliashib, with his fellow priests, led in this troop of builders. Look at verse 1. We are told in verse 1, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. The priests repaired the sheep gate, so-called because through it were brought the animals that were to be sacrificed in the temple. And so first on the list, the high priest. Now, Eliashib did not say, I am the high priest, you know, this is below my status or dignity. I don't do these things, you know, I'm not trained for this. My task is to pray all day, to meditate on God's word. Eliashib and his fellow priests, they were willing to get their hands dirty in this monumental effort. They had no hesitation using their hands to swing, you know, a hammer or to push a wheelbarrow. They didn't learn all this. They didn't do all this in the seminary. They didn't protest and say that the building of the walls were not part of their training or job description. Sometimes I hear people say, I'm not going to serve or work in this or that ministry because that is not my spiritual gift or that is not my calling. Your spiritual gift should help you know where to focus your efforts. But trust me, there are many areas of need in church where we are all called to pitch in, whether it is your gift or not. Some of you, where you are, you can always extend a warm welcome to a visitor, invite the person, all right, to the coffee corner, have a cup of tea, get to know the person, share a verse in the Bible to encourage. Or, you know, some of our people are getting involved in trying to beautify the church. Perhaps, you know, as you see some of the gardening work that has been done. Now, all these do not need deep skill or specific calling, but what it needs is a right heart and also a servant mindset. Now, it is fitting that the priests should take the lead, and they led by examples. If anybody in the city should have been busy with the work, it should be the priests, because God's reputation and honor was at stake. And the faith of leaders often inspire others to great faith and good works. And so if you are a leader, if you are a session member, a ministry leader, a Sunday school teacher or MBC leader and so on, you must set good examples, because others are looking hard at you and learning from you. If you are lukewarm and you are irresponsible, they will learn to be likewise. If you are full of encouragement and faith, they will follow likewise. And as a leader, you have a duty to lead, to challenge others by your commitment, by your lives, and by your examples. Now, moreover, the priests, in the rebuilding of the sheep gate and the walls extending from it, we are told they sanctified it, or they dedicated their own portion of the wall. Look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate." And what did they do? They sanctified it, and they set up the doors of it even unto the tower of Mir, and they sanctified it. Now, the idea behind sanctification is to recognize something as uniquely set apart for God. Nehemiah and Eliashib knew that God wanted everything set apart special unto him, including these city walls and gates. And so the priests commenced the work with an act of dedication, consecration. And thus, a sacred character was impressed on the work. It shows how they regarded the work. It shows how they regarded their labor. Their labor was unto God and also for His glory. The purpose of rebuilding the walls wasn't just for protection against the invaders. It was a step toward restoring the people's faith, their identity, and a witness to the surrounding nations of God's greatness and faithfulness to His people. Whether building or guarding or praying, their work was more than bricks and mortar. It was about glorifying God. Now, there's an old story about three bricklayers. When asked, "What are you doing?" each had a different response. The first say, "I'm laying bricks." The second replied, "I'm building a wall." But the third smiled and said, "I'm building a church. I'm building a church." And Nehemiah's story reminds us of the third bricklayer. Nehemiah wasn't just rebuilding a wall. He was restoring a city that represented God's glory. And his ultimate goal was to bring honor to the name of the Lord. And it is a lesson for all of us. No matter how small our role in the church seems, we are all contributing to something greater, to God's glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." The purpose of all our ministries, all our labors, and really our life itself is the glory of God. And so whether it is a small task or a big project, when our aim is to honor God, our efforts take on eternal significance. You know, it's just like singing in the worship, the choir, and all of us singing. When we sing psalms or hymns or spiritual songs, we make no melody unless we sing with grace in our hearts, unless we sing with true devotion to the Lord, because it is the Lord whom we serve, and we are not serving men or a leader. We must never lose sight of this, because this is the secret to joy and perseverance in service, to do everything as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 puts it succinctly. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so in everything we do, let us always seek to honor the Lord. Now, Nehemiah recognized the contributions of every worker, and so he recorded the names of all involved in the work and the section of the walls that they built. All but one. Have you noticed that in this long list of names, Nehemiah's own name was not listed. Now, there's a Nehemiah in verse 16, but he's not Nehemiah the cupbearer. Nehemiah the cupbearer was as involved as anyone, as zealous as anyone. In fact, even more so. He mourned, he fasted, he prayed, he made the 900-mile journey to Jerusalem. He came up with the plans to rebuild those massive walls. He rallied the people. He was the outstanding leader who led the people in this remarkable work. And yet, when it came to giving credit, Nehemiah did not say as Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon did. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem more than 140 years earlier, you remember Nebuchadnezzar as he was walking in the palace grounds? He said this to himself, "So please, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Nebuchadnezzar took glory for himself, and God dealt with him. By contrast, Nehemiah gave credit to others, listing what each had been assigned and what each had built. And with the kind of humility that befits a godly leader, he wrote in chapter 4, "So built we the wall." He did not say, "So built I, Nehemiah, the wall." He said, "So built we the wall." For the people had a mind to work. Then, when war was over, when the wall was built, he gave the ultimate glory to God. In chapter 6, verse 16, Nehemiah said, "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." This work was wrought of our God. And so we all must remember always as we serve to render all glory to God and not to men. Nehemiah was able to build a good team because he pointed them to the purpose of the work, the glory of God. He said, "Let us all rise up and build the walls of Jerusalem so that we will no more be a reproach." They weren't just working on walls. They were worshipping God, who is worthy of all glory and honor. Nehemiah did not want a huge sign over the main gate with a bronze plaque reading the Nehemiah's Memorial Wall. Rather, he wanted the walls to be built so that God's name will be exalted in Jerusalem and God's people will no longer be a reproach. How should we build in Life Church? I hope we can learn three lessons this morning. First of all, every one of us, or specifically, you must be involved in God's work. Do your part to rebuild one section of the walls of the church. Secondly, everyone, or specifically you, must be zealous in God's work. Have an excellent spirit. Do it with zest and earnest. Do it well for the Lord. And finally, everyone, and you specifically, must always remember who you are serving ultimately. You are serving God. You are worshiping God, not men. Are you ready to build your section of the wall together with others here in Life Church? You know, next month we will be celebrating our 74th anniversary. Next year will be our 75th anniversary. And we thank God for how He has preserved and prospered Life Church over the last 74 years. But you know, a church with 74 years of history, some part of our walls are already broken. Our gates are also a little burned. And there are many ministries in Life Church that requires newer people, younger people, to come forward and to continue the work that God has given to us. Ask the Lord, where is the section of the walls of Life Church that the Lord has called you to build? Let us all rise up and build together. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning that reminds all of us that you have called us to be your servant, to do your work. And as you have placed us here in Life Church, help us to discern your will and to know where you want us to build that section or the gate of the walls of Life Church. And we pray, Father, that you will fill us with zeal and with zest, even as we go about laboring for you. Focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we pray, Father, that you will speak to us and that you will challenge each one of us and that your Holy Spirit will do a work of renewal in our lives. Hear this, our prayers, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.